You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to the final hour. Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll check in with the Miami Dolphins. Made a bold move, naming Tua Tagovailoa as their starter. And they give him a little more than a week to prepare for the Rams. Also touched on the Dallas Cowboys. Got a little drama there. Anonymous sources on the team telling Jane Slater, the NFL Network, that basically this coaching staff doesn't know what it's doing. We got a long, long season ahead of us here. You better see some improvement somewhere, certainly on the defense, because that defense has been historically bad. Here is Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys head coach, upon finding out about these anonymous sources on the team talking about the coaching staff.
The key word there is anonymous, and I think I've already stated, I think it's important for our operation, you know, the system that we're putting in place here. All systems are different. We've looked at how things were done here in the past, and there's a clear vision and understanding. Things need to be moving forward, but it's important for us to have those conversations as men one-on-one, so or as a group, and I'm fortunate enough where I get to talk to the team every day.
Man, we're already getting anonymous sources talking about the coaching staff. Welcome to town, Mike McCarthy. You ain't in Green Bay anymore. Everything is important with the Cowboys. Everything. There's no other team that's close to their importance every single day, no matter who it is. Randy Gregory's coming back. Hey, let's do a story on him. Alden Smith, let's do a story on him. Kellen Moore calling the plays. Let's do a story on it. Everybody gets a story in Dallas. Everything is big. Yes, Paulie.
Remember for the past 3 or 4 years, we heard a lot of stories that Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy didn't get along in Green Bay. And yeah. Well, Aaron Rodgers is a difficult guy. He's got some elitist issues or whatever. And it was pinned on McCarthy. It was pinned on Rodgers. Now, what's the similar factor here? New team, the players aren't getting along with him.
Well, this is what I would be concerned about if I'm Mike McCarthy. These are anonymous sources, but they are players on your team. How did they come to this conclusion? Winning solves everything, or at least mask a lot of things. This is a situation here where you need something to go right because everything's gone wrong. Zeke Elliott's fumbling. You lost your quarterback. You lost your offensive line. Your defense is getting shredded, and you got a new coach who just got on the job in January. And now you got anonymous sources. Jerry Jones knows that he's got to make this happen soon. That window of opportunity is now, and it's not going to happen this year. But, you know, that frustration level, and Mike McCarthy just got to town. So it's not going to get any better anytime soon, it feels like. Yeah, McLovin.
They were a total and utter failure last year, though. So I don't know. Like,
well, I wouldn't say they're an utter failure. They were just average.
They really should have won that division.
Oh, right? By far. I mean, I thought you could accidentally stumble to 8 or 9 wins last year. And the same thing this year. I thought they'd breeze through the division, and then they would tack on maybe 4 or 5 more wins on top of that, and then you're going to be, you know, in prime position for number 1 or number 2 seed in the playoffs. Yeah, McLovin.
So my point was, like, isn't it the players? Isn't that the first point? Like, they're the ones who are not tackling Kenyon Drake. I feel like it just feels like there's something wrong with the makeup of the players.
Well,
on that team.
I think that they have, once again, I go back to if you play for the Cowboys, then you get the star treatment in more ways than just on your helmet. Like, we make you better than what you are, and you're not. But we've been doing this for 30 years. We've been overinflating the Dallas Cowboys and the genius of Jerry Jones. Jerry's genius is he's a good businessman. But he hasn't been a good owner, and he hasn't been a good general manager. He knows how to make money. But he stayed with Jason Garrett way too long. And you bring in Mike McCarthy. I don't know if he's going to have the answers. It felt like if I was bringing in somebody, I was going to bring in somebody who was a little younger, more aggressive. Like Matt Rhule would have been the guy that I would have liked. Because, and he's right there. You know, he knows Texas. He is at Baylor. And he would have been the guy because he's offensive-minded. He's a younger guy. And I just think getting that energy. And maybe he would have been a Sean McVay type, and you get the Cowboys back to the Super Bowl here. But Mike McCarthy was never on my radar when I went, wow, now that's a coach I'm going to go through a door for. Or he's an offensive-minded guy. We know all of that. But, you know, they brought him in, and maybe he does make something of this. But it feels like DeMarcus Lawrence, where are you? He's one of the highest-paid defensive players in the game. Where is he? I know you lost your offensive line. Zeke Elliott. Hang on the football. How about you make somebody miss a tackle? Like Zeke Elliott doesn't make people, he doesn't run, he's not running around you, through you. He got his deal, he got paid. And he runs like he got paid. That's where you really have to take the time. I don't know who the leader is of that team. Now, I'm not going to put all of this on Mike McCarthy, but I'm guessing the leader is the guy who is just underwent surgery on his ankle. Like, that's, you got to take inventory here. You got to say, all right, guys, and start calling people out, but within the confines of the locker room. Because if not, I mean, people are going to lose their jobs. And you might stumble into the playoffs, but you would just be masking what is a bigger issue here. I think you got a lot of egos, overinflated egos, and starts at the top. And I think you need to take the temperature here, and people realize nobody cares that you're the Cowboys. In fact, they care even more when they embarrass you. Yeah, McLovin.
Injuries, you're gonna use that as an excuse, or is that okay?
It's the entire offensive line. This year, I'll use it.
Can McCarthy get another year because of that, another 2 years?
Yes. I mean, Jerry had him sleep over at his house. So I'm guessing they're buddies. I mean, not many owners bring somebody in and they sleep in their house. They have an overnight party matching pajamas. So I'm guessing Mike McCarthy, and he should get another year. But I can't blame it all on injuries for 30 years. that's a really convenient excuse. Hey, why haven't you guys been back to the Super Bowl in almost 30 years? Injuries. All right. 877-3DP show email address dp@danpatrick.com. All that Washington football team is going to do it to us again this year. Because, locally, the Washington fans, they don't care about the nickname. They just care about winning and losing. Nationally, we get caught up in, they got to change that nickname. Okay, change the nickname. Well, he's not going to change the nickname. He removed it. And then he brought in some minorities. He brought in a woman and put her in a powerful place, changed the broadcast team. He's not going to, he's the Washington football team. They're going to keep it for the rest of this year and perhaps another year. And I thought everything that was going on off season, these reports of what was going on internally and sexual harassment and all of these things. And I said, all he wants to do is get to the season. When the season starts, people are going to forget about Daniel Snyder. Now, the fans are looking at a bad football team locally. Nationally, I don't know if anybody's going, you guys got to come up with a nickname now. I joked that they were going to call themselves the Washington Football Club. I thought they were going to take on like a premiership. Now it's real. It's the Washington Football Team. I thought that they should go with Washington Football United and just, with the initials FU. Because I think that's basically what Dan Snyder is saying. FU. It's my team. I'll do whatever I want. You had a problem with us as the Washington Football Team? We're going to keep it for another year. Daniel Snyder said that Washington Football Team could end up being the permanent name of the franchise. Good stuff. Yes, Paul.
Do you think it's possible that Daniel Snyder, a billionaire who does not like being told what to do, which is redundant, by the way, is delaying the name out of spite because he and his marketing people could put together a name and we could put together a name before the end of this show if we tried hard enough?
Well, the only thing I thought was billionaires want more billions. They don't stop making money when they become a billionaire. And you could get a revenue stream of a brand new nickname for the Washington Football Team.
But that could happen in February if you wanted to.
But he's already wasted a year.
Right.
Unless he goes, you know what? We made some money off the Washington football team. Well, if you call yourself the Washington football, whatever, Red Hawks, then now you got merchandise that now you can market this and now you can make even more money. You're still going to have that secondary market that is going to buy Washington Redskins gear. And if I'm Daniel Snyder, I'd probably still try to somehow market that without doing it in front of the NFL and make money off that revenue stream and then a new one. Because that's all he's good at doing, is making money. Yes, Paul.
As they delay the inevitable, can we call them the filibusters for the next year?
You can if you want to. Washington football.
I got a little political.
Yeah, I know. You did. We try not to get political on this show. All right. Tua is now going to be your starting quarterback. And he takes over for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick has two blowout wins. And all of a sudden he gets replaced. But Miami took Tua at number 5 overall. And they knew he was the long-term plan. But with the NFL now, your long-term plan starts in year 1. Because you find your quarterback, find out if you have a quarterback, now you start making plans. Like Cincinnati knows they have their quarterback. The Eagles aren't sure if they have their quarterback in Carson Wentz. You know, do the Rams have their quarterback in Jared Goff? They've already paid these guys. You know, Justin Herbert, the Chargers have their quarterback. They found out. They wouldn't have found out this early if Tyrod Taylor didn't get his lung punctured. And now the Dolphins want to know, is Tua our franchise quarterback? Because once you find him, now you're on the clock. You have 4 years before you have to pay him. Because when you pay him, then it's difficult to keep that team. Keep the team together that you built. You know, we saw this with Seattle. Seattle did it because Russell Wilson is that good. But they lost those defensive players, but they were able to pay those defensive players. That helped Russell Wilson get in a position of winning a Super Bowl and nearly winning another one. That's really the blueprint. That's what you want. You know, there are certain teams like the Saints, the Packers, the Patriots when Brady was there, that you have your quarterback long term, but you hope that it's on a team-friendly contract. And the Chiefs, I think, gave Patrick Mahomes a team-friendly contract. You spread out that money, you got him locked up. You never have to worry about it. In 4 years, we'll look at that and go, God, they got a good deal on that. Assuming he stays healthy.
And then he holds out after getting three rings. He'll hold out for $60 million a year.
Yeah, but I'm excited for the Dolphins because now they're relevant. Now they become exciting. Now you're at least interested. There's a curiosity to see, did they make the right decision and how good is Tua? Yeah, McLevin.
It's funny about that team too because we don't really know a lot of names. They're very anonymous on both sides of the ball. Like, who are their star players? We were talking about their running back, Miles Gaskin, that none of us knew.
And yeah.
They don't really have receivers. They have a good tight end, Mike Gesicki.
I thought he was going to be a star. I remember telling you that when I watched Penn State play. I said, this tight end, he is going to be a star. I thought he would be a George Kittle type.
Picked it up a little this year.
Yeah.
A little.
I thought he was going to be great.
But what if they, with that Texans pick, get a Jalen Waddle, Jamar Chase? It's another wide receiver draft.
Yeah. Well, that'd probably be a direction I'd go in. Have Tua reunite with one of the Alabama wide receivers, but they have the Texans pick, and they also have theirs as well. Oh. They don't have... What did they get for Minka Fitzpatrick? Did they get the pick from the Steelers?
Yeah, I think they might have used that already.
Oh, okay.
Did the Steelers not pick this year? But I'll double-check that.
Okay. Dodgers handle the Rays 8-3. Nice night for Mookie Betts. And in case you're young and you haven't watched a lot of baseball, those are called stolen bases that he had last night. They're really, really rare, and they used to be very common. So if you saw that last night and you said to your dad, Dad, what did he just do? And Dad says, that's a stolen base, son. Really? What's a stolen base? Hey, they're holding a runner on. Why are they doing that? But Clayton Kershaw looked good last night. Here's some numbers. Last night, the Rays against Clayton Kershaw swung 38 times, missed 19 times. So 50% of the time they swung and missed. Counter that with Fritzy's cheating Astros. When they faced Clayton Kershaw game 5 in the 2017 World Series, they swung and missed zero times against Clayton Kershaw.
Stat of the day, yeah. Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
All righty. Poll question, McLovin, and we stand with the poll question for the final hour.
We switched it up to if you were Clayton Kershaw, would you rather have a sweep or get to pitch in game five? Try and guess the results. What do people decide? Oh.
Yeah, go ahead.
They said 68% said sweep.
Oh, man, I want the ball. Yeah, Seton.
Can we just go back to your stat of the day there for a second? How is that possible? Nobody swung and missed at a pitch the whole time he was in?
That's what sources close to me tell me.
How's that possible?
Against the Astros.
Yeah. Not a single time?
That's what I'm told.
Who's telling you this?
My friend Ted. Big Dodger fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he'll weep.
Not one single time did they swing and miss?
That's what my friend Ted.
The whole time?
Yes.
Through like 85 pitches. Something like that.
Yeah. They didn't swing and miss.
Not one single time. Either it was fouled off or it was put in play.
Or you didn't swing.
Right.
Yeah. If you want to get Ethan on it.
Not one single time.
I didn't want to bother Ethan today with this stat. It's
probably his off day.
No. He never has an off day.
I think the Baz man's in.
Even when he has a day off, he doesn't have an off day.
Tim Bazzer, the Bazmanian devil, as we call him.
The Bazinator. Tim Bazzer. Oh, Fritzy's got mock headlines.
Look at that. Sell it. Oh, God. My cousin's not feeling well.
All right, let me just rip the Band-Aid off, and let's just do it. Todd's got mock headlines.
There's only six of them. It's not that painful.
I know. Todd has got mock headlines and has to do with Tua Tagovailoa taking over in Miami.
Tagovailoa, you're it. The tag. Oh, am I supposed to? Tua man, Finn's back move to new QB. To a man. Is Fitzpatrick finished in Miami? Question. They sound like they're numbered. The floor is the limit for Tua. Brian Flores, coach. Blowing a gasket.
Hold on, that one's the floor is the limit?
Instead of the ceiling, the floor is the limit for Tua?
Is that a real laugh?
It's like Michael Jordan.
It's laughing just how stupid that could. The floor is the limit, right? Huh?
Brian Flores, coach of the Dolphins.
Marie, no chance in hell. They get to the playoffs now.
Blowing a gasket. Miles not all in on the move. That's not true, but that would be interesting if he was against the change of
quarterback. But it is a mock headline.
Right. Blowing a gasket. And my last one, then we can move on to regularly scheduled programming. Greer and Wings. GM says, time to let young QB fly. Chris Greer, GM of the Dolphins. Greer and Wings. Right. Let him fly, the new young QB.
Yeah. Okay.
The floor is the limit for Tua.
Yeah. My whammy. Fitzpatrick upset about benching.
Press your luck.
Whammy. Right?
Like a press your luck game.
That's bad, too. No. If that is bad, you should have said Seton, that's bad.
I actually like that one.
And that's the problem with your mock headlines.
He's just too positive.
Yeah. Yes.
Positive Todd.
Yes, Paul.
The tide has turned. New quarterback inside.
Because he played for Alabama. Yeah, I got that's it. Why he's a tie.
Yeah, okay.
Tagovailoa, you're it.
I got it, Todd. Thank you.
Ella Whamma. Same thing.
That's
same
bad
one.
Too. That's
same
bad.
One. No, my bad. That's my whammy, yeah. Ella Whamma.
It's bad. Yeah. No. McLovin, you staying silent just to...
I was just wondering
by association here?
Yeah, if anyone knows who Chris Greer is, like that was really put that one down on the list.
Yeah, that would be strictly like a Florida Sun Sentinel thing. It's not a Florida National paper. You can't run with that with the USA Today. No. That's a Miami Herald thing or a Palm Beach Post, maybe.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you did a good job with the guest list today. So
you could wink at the bad mock headline.
Well, sometimes I will indulge you when I feel like you've done your job for the day, like you've done some work. I mean, Bruce Arians was a good get to get the Tampa Bay coach on. I mean, that's good. Jane Slater covering the Cowboys. Nice to have her on. Jessica Mendoza doing the World Series. Nice to have her on. So you did
The wild card's going to be Adam Beasley coming up next to talk Dolphins.
Adam Beasley.
Which I thought was a nice way to get into that by doing some Tua mock headlines with a Dolphin-related Tua guest.
That's solid producing, Todd.
I thought that was kind of, I don't know.
Like a toddler. I was piecing it all together.
Thinking ahead a little bit.
I prefer you don't produce. Don't okay.
We're used to it.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, wow. That was a shot and a half.
That's a shot, John.
McLovin.
Dang, all right. We're
who's
used
coming
to
on
you.
At 10:25 and get out of the way. Why don't you go do some shoulders in the back? We'll let you know how the interview went.
Yeah, Todd, why don't you go? Todd was doing shoulders this morning.
By the way, shoulders and producing, two things he does not do.
That's a long list.
Arms.
Man. Dang, right.
Yeah. Arms, yeah.
Yeah.
Crush it.
Yeah, you wanted to be coordinating producer. And I said, you can't be coordinating producer.
You can't get hooked up on titles. Just do your job and let other people worry about what they should call you.
Let me take a break. We're going to check in with the Miami Dolphins coming up. I thought we were getting Cole Beasley on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I said, no, Todd, it's Cole Beasley. And he goes, no.
I misunderstood.
I'm getting Adam Beasley.
But Adam Beasley's a fine, upstanding gentleman who does a great job covering the Dolphins for the Miami Herald.
No, but I thought it was Cole Beasley.
I understand. I confused. I should have been more clear.
Plays for the Bills.
Like, I didn't know his first name was really Adam.
He's a rapper, and I thought maybe Cole was his rap name.
It is. It's his nickname. It's actually Adam Beasley. Cole's the nickname.
Okay. Take a break. 22 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick.
I wrapped up a few more to a Dolphin.
No, you're good, Todd. Thank you, Todd. And I got a great night's sleep, so it's not like I'm in a bad mood or anything. And Todd usually puts me in a bad mood.
And your sleep number is like 100 now.
It is.
It was like 75, 80. Now it's all up to 100.
Yeah, I'm not joking anymore. I said, there's some crazy things happening in my bed. 100 is my sleep number. It's two beds in one, Todd.
It is.
Yeah, so you can have 100 on your side. Your significant other could have 75.
They don't just average you out to like a 65.
No.
Like they're two separate entities, but combined as one.
But one bed.
That's fabulous.
Yes, it is. They got so many great things there. Sleep IQ technology, it tells you how well you slept the night before. You wake up and it tells you how well you slept.
That's amazing. I don't know. How can you possibly do that?
It's called the 360
they
smart bed.
They tell you
bed.
Verbally? Or how do you get that information? Is it notes? You find little cryptic notes under the bed about how your sleep went?
Then there's a person under the bed.
That's pretty wild.
And then they come right out underneath. And
it
then
comes
they go,
with a person. Do they pay rent?
Yeah.
Do they help clean up around the house?
Yeah. Yeah. His name's Tommy.
Tommy.
Sleep number 360 smart bed for a limited time. Save up to $1,000 on the new 360 smart bed plus smart adjustable base. It's all about that base. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Only at Sleep Number stores, sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Did I upset the Rush community by saying that their lyrics are bad, Paulie?
Yeah,
I like the music. I just think the lyrics are lame.
You said the lyrics are odd and weird and you don't get them, you'd be fine. Because I think a lot of Rush fans would be in that boat. The music obviously kicks ass, but sometimes the lyrics are a little squirrely, but I love them.
But I say this about my favorite band, Led Zeppelin.
Yes.
They have terrible lyrics.
There's a bustle in your hedgerow, and don't be alarmed. Yeah. Something like.
But doesn't that show how great Led Zeppelin is that they could overcome weird lyrics?
Okay, who is better because of their lyrics? Is there a band that stands out where you go, because of their lyrics, they're better than what their music sounds like?
People bring up Fish, by the way, which I don't know enough Fish songs, but I do remember, I think they had that song bouncing around the room, and I remember thinking that sounded pretty stupid.
But I don't know if you're really capable of listening to the lyrics when you go to a Fish concert. Aren't you going there to kind of check out?
Possibly.
Yeah. Yes, McClellan.
Don't they have like 27-minute guitar riffs too?
Yeah. But I think it's about the scene with Fish. I don't know. Is it as much about the music there? Yes, Paulie.
I always thought the band NXS had some good songs, but they never seemed like the deepest band in the world with their lyrics.
I went to dinner in Madison Square Garden, and Fish was going to play that night in the Garden. I'm with people who joined me to have dinner. I wasn't going to go see Fish. So we're there at the restaurant that's there in the first floor of Madison Square Garden, and these guys get ready to go, and they take out some Molly. it's like, come on, you guys ready to go? And then they were handing out Molly. And I go, If the band is so damn good, why are you taking drugs to go see them? They're like, it just helps with the experience. I go, how good is Fish if you have to? But they did. I was like, wow, all right. And then they go, do you want to come? And I go, no, no, I'm good. I can stand outside and I'll listen to the music. I saw some tweets yesterday with Adam Beasley. He covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. And by the way, talk about showing up for work and something falls right in your lap. That's a great day, Adam. He joins us now on loan from the Miami Herald. Did you see this coming, that Tua was going to take over for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
No, I was, Dan, trying to ease into my bye weekend. I was already, I'm going to the Keys this weekend. I was already planning my weekend, and kaboom. And here I am talking to you 24 hours later.
All right, so give me the logic behind this.
Well, it was time. Tua Tagovailoa probably would have started week one, if not earlier, if they had an offseason, which they didn't because of COVID. So the Dolphins know he's the future and they want the future to start now. And look, he's not right now today better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitz actually has played pretty well this season. They've won 3 out of 4, but I think this moves more about 2021 than it is 2020. Can this team make the playoffs with Ryan Fitzpatrick as their starter? Sure, but they'll probably be one and done. What they're looking to do in Miami is to build a sustained winner, and you got to get your quarterbacks reps to do that.
And I just wondered about his health. I didn't think of it at the time, and I probably should have, when I saw him come in at the end of the Jets game, and he threw a couple of passes. And I was wondering, was that on purpose, that you're up 24 to nothing, and this is mop-up time, it's 2 minutes to go, and he's throwing a couple of passes?
Dan, not only did he throw passes, his very first pass was a naked bootleg to his left, running into the teeth of the defense. I mean, seriously, the exact spot on the field where his hip exploded 12 months ago, they're asking him to do the same thing. So I think, if nothing else, that was a sign to the world that his hip is good, he's ready, and they're ready to turn the page. But yeah, they got some confidence by him playing last week, but the confidence they've really gotten was from watching him in practice. Brian Flores said 2 weeks ago he wasn't ready. He apparently is ready now. I think the bye helps. And it'll be fascinating because, look, I've been covering this team. This is my 9th season. And this is the first time I've been asked to be on your show. There's a reason. This is a completely, completely irrelevant team for the vast majority of time that I've been covering them. And now everybody's talking about them.
Yeah, I mentioned that a couple hours ago, that you just want to be relevant. And now the Dolphins have a tune-in factor. I don't know how long it lasts. I don't know how good he's going to be. But you're going to go out of your way to watch a game instead of just wait for the highlights there. And there's something to be said for that. I was wondering, though, Adam, if Fitzpatrick had 2 or 3 more wins in a row, would it, like, they didn't, were the Dolphins concerned that if we started really playing well, and I think in one of your tweets, like, the veterans were like, wait, what? We're kind of surprised you're making this move. Were they concerned that they could somehow win a couple more games in a row, and then it would be even harder to bench Ryan Fitzpatrick?
No, I think this is just serendipity, to be honest. I think the fact that their schedule got completely blown up because of COVID, they were supposed to have a week 11 bye. Now they have a week 7 bye. It was just the right time. They're going to give him a full 2 weeks to get with the offense, to get his feet under him. So, yeah, I do think if they had a game this coming weekend, which was the original plan, Ryan Fitzpatrick would still be the starter.
Are they going to keep Ryan Fitzpatrick?
They better. I mean, he is the most popular player in that locker room, and I mean, there would be trade value for him. Certainly, he can do as good of a job as Andy Dalton did on Monday. He's top 7 in QBR. He's top 20, top 15 in passer rating. There's a reason they won 5 games last year and they're 3-3 this year. It's not because they're loaded with talent, although they are better from a talent standpoint than they were last year. It's because Ryan Fitzpatrick makes them better than what they are. And that's tough to swallow. If you're Kyle Van Noy at age 29, if you're Eric Flowers at age 26, 27, that your window isn't forever, and you see a shot to make the playoffs this year, and they sandbag the quarterback going into the bye, that might be a tough sell in the locker room.
And you got the Texans draft pick this year as well. So you got two first-round picks this year?
Yeah, that's right. And well, the Texans are 1-5. I think right now they'd have the 7th pick, courtesy of my favorite website, tankathon.com. But no, they will have ammunition next year, and they're going to have all the information they need on Tua going into next offseason. I don't think they're going to pull a Rosen where they'll draft Kyler Murray number one if they have a number one pick and all that. But it's good for them to have as much information as possible. So when they go into next offseason with another bounty of draft picks, they can make an educated decision.
Hey, you got Miami sports is doing well. Marlins make the playoffs. The U is actually competitive. You got the Heat. You got the Dolphins now with Tua. Things are good. No more vacations there, big boy.
Yeah, I kind of wish it was spread out a little bit, because it feels like just yesterday the Heat were in the NBA Finals, and you mentioned UM and the Marlins and all that. Yeah, give us a buildup a little bit. And I don't know, from your perspective, it's just sensory overload at this point. Two is a huge story, but tomorrow something else will happen.
Great to talk to you, and we'll try to have you on somewhere within the next 8 years, if that's okay.
Yeah, I will hold you to that.
Thank you, Adam. Great stuff. Adam Beasley, he covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. He had a great appearance there, Todd. Yes, Paul.
The bees crushed it right off the bat, saying you messed up my vacation.
Yeah, I know. I like that. I like that. Here I thought we were booking Cole Beasley, and Adam Beasley was great. Yes, McLean.
Better than what I think Cole Beasley
would have
been.
Absolutely. Yeah, even if Cole Beasley was rapping.
Well, if we would have asked Cole Beasley nothing but Tua and Miami Dolphins questions, he probably wouldn't have been that good of an interview.
Yes, McLean.
He was great until he screwed up one answer at the end. What do you mean he would do better than Andy Dalton in Dallas? In what sense?
Oh, my God.
Would he get sacked better than when seven guys run in unprotected?
Okay.
This idea that Ryan Fitzpatrick's the savior, like, oh, they're like 18 teams old. We got to get Ryan Fitzpatrick. That 15 he put up against Seattle's number 32 ranked defense.
Andy Dalton is your Rush. Like, Paulie loves the band Rush. And you love Andy Dalton.
Does that make Case Keenum my Tom Petty?
Yeah, Paulie loves Tom Petty, too.
Yeah, I will. It was hard on Monday night.
I thought that Paulie kind of stumbled upon Tom Petty the way my wife did with a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Like, a couple of weeks ago, she's like, have you ever had Pabst Blue Ribbon? I go, yeah, it's really good beer. And I go, it's been around a long time, hon. I never had Pabst Blue Ribbon. Yeah, Seton.
I kind of had that with AC/DC. Like, a few years back, I was like, dang, these songs are really good. And I can't believe AC/DC rules. It's like a total like epiphany or something. Yeah. Like, wow, these songs, Thunderstruck is actually really awesome.
I forget what. It was when Tiger won at Torrey Pines. And I went down. I drove from L.A. down to San Diego with my buddy, Ted. And he goes, we're going to go to this place and it is going to be great. So I said, all right, we'll go to this place. I don't know where we were. Down by Dana Point or something. And so we parked the car, go into this bar, and he goes in the bar, he comes out, and he says, wait out here outside, brings out a beer in a brown paper bag, hands it to me. It's a PBR tall boy. And I go, what are we doing? And he goes, it's a PBR tall boy. I go, I had to drink Pabst Blue Ribbon when I was growing up. Like, he thought that this was this unbelievable moment for me. I'm drinking PBR out of a brown paper bag. And I said, this brings me back to high school. Now, it's good now. I like PBR. But all of a sudden, it's like, man. It's like when my wife discovered Aerosmith. And Aerosmith had been around for 25 years. And she saw a video. And she goes, oh, I saw this band, and the guitar player, he's really handsome. And I said, well, what's the music? The lead singer kind of acts like Mick Jagger. And I go, Aerosmith? Yes, yes. I go, they were my first concert. And that was 1973. She goes, they've been around that long? And then I took her to see Aerosmith. And then we meet them backstage, and my wife couldn't say a word. So she walks, and there's Steve Perry. She just froze up. Not Steve Perry, Joe Perry, Steven Tyler. She froze up. She couldn't. She goes, and then Steven Tyler goes, honey, and then gives her a kiss. I go, I don't know how I got off on that tangent, other than it was Pabst Blue Ribbon in a brown paper bag. Did I start with Andy Dalton? I ended up on PBR and Rush. And Tom Petty, is that what it was? Somehow, I did it. I wonder if anybody connects the dots on this show. If you just show like where we start.
The references?
Yes. And then somehow we make it all work. Somehow we make it all work. At least I hope. All right, we'll take a break. I will get to the phone calls here. And I do have an update on my Clayton Kershaw stat that I told you. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Boys in the back say, Grateful Dead, underrated lyrics. I was never a Grateful Dead fan. And the whole Deadhead experience, I was in Atlanta. I was working at CNN, and it was just like this wave of people came into town and camped out for days waiting for the Grateful Dead. Sleeping outside, stairwells. You know, I'd leave work at like 2 in the morning. You walk outside and people be in sleeping bags just waiting for the Grateful Dead. Yes, McLovin.
Possible poll question someday. If you were old enough at the time, would you have gone to Woodstock?
No.
For the same reason?
I hate to go unless I can hear the music. Like, that would have been an experience. But I know my brother, one of my brothers was going to go. But I think my mom or dad or both said that you can't go. But I don't like going to a festival, amphitheater, concerts usually. Yeah, Paul.
What is the biggest concert anyone here has ever been to as far as like number of people in the building or stadium? Like more than 50,000.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything more than 50,000 in person?
Well, football stadiums, some will seat 70,000.
Who'd you see?
I'm trying to think.
I saw Springsteen at Soldier Field in 84, and it felt like there was over 50,000 there.
Yeah, I've seen U2 a couple of times where they were outdoor stadiums, the Stones outdoor. So you're probably getting 70,000 maybe, I'm guessing. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, I think maybe Springsteen at Giant Stadium.
Yeah.
That was a lot of people. But then I sort of, in my teenage years was all when like Lollapalooza was happening. Yeah. And sort of like those big traveling festivals. So, you know, Lollapalooza, Austin City Limits, Riot Fest. Like there's been a bunch that have at least 30,000 people there.
Yeah, I never wanted to go kind of, I had no desire to experience that. Hey, let's get filthy, dirty, and you know, you're going to be slopping around in mud. And yes, yeah,
except that it's an awesome way to see a lot of bands you wouldn't normally see, you know, where you can kind of, you're just kind of bouncing from stage to stage and having some food and a couple of beers or whatever. And then, let's go check out this person and that one. And you're almost always surprised by how good somebody is.
That's why I wait for the show Glastonbury, the music festival, and then they edit everything together, yeah. And I can sit in front of my TV and go, oh, that's great. Oh, and there's another band. And there's another band. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, like the bathroom situation at Woodstock
that's not
alone.
Good.
Already.
That's not good.
Yeah, can you imagine Todd at Woodstock? I mean, he wouldn't like the bands there, but
I do like the whole free love thing in the vans, and that part would be cool, but if there's a restroom situation, I'm out.
The lead singer of The Outfield, Tony Lewis, passed away. Now, this is one of those songs. You got to be in a good mood when it'll put you in a good mood when it comes on, right?
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
That's one of those songs that you wonder as you get older, are you able to sing that song? And I wonder about that with Robert Plant with Led Zeppelin. I don't think he can sing the songs anymore. And therefore, why would I want to go out on the road and try to sing those songs, but I can't sing it the way I did when I was in my 20s? Yeah, Paul.
Do you remember when we had John Fogerty in studio about 5 years ago, and he was hitting high notes on songs like he was 30 years old? Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Yes. Saw him in concert, and you can close your eyes and listen to a record. I mean, he was that good. He sounded that great. John in Nebraska joins us. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. You guys, you're talking about the Rush lyrics, and I kind of agree with Paulie that I'm a huge Rush fan. But when you look at Tom Sawyer, especially nowadays, you know, it says, your mind is not for rent to any god or government. I think that's really pertinent nowadays.
I'll give you that one, John. I'll give you that one. That's a good lyric. It's just, I don't know if I consider Rush great songwriters. I love the music.
Spirit of the Radio is all about the corporate takeover of FM radio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's deep.
All right. Maybe I'm going to have to give it another listen there.
Deep dive.
A little deep dive. Rush 2112. Yeah. Let me see. Edward in Texas. Hi, Edward. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, first time, been listening to you since the Dibble days. I just wanted to remark on the Cowboys. They are exactly like the Texas Longhorns. They have the best facilities, the best talent, but they underachieve simply because they think they're entitled to just walk onto the field and win. And I want to mention my daughter is pursuing her master's at Syracuse in sports broadcasting, and she's been listening to you with me for 20 years. And one of her first assignments, she mentioned you as someone she admires for your interview prowess. When you all were down in San Antonio where she did her undergraduate work, she got up early in the morning, went and listened to you all, took a picture with you.
Oh, great.
And McLovin, and I just appreciate the good influence you have on her.
Well, thank you, Edward, and tell her good luck in this crazy business that we're in. Clayton Kershaw swing and misses in the World Series. So game five against Houston 2017, the Astros swung and missed four times out of 40 swings. And I was told zero misses. So they had four misses in that game. My friend Teddy just screwed up. Game one against the Astros, they had 33 swings. They missed the ball eight times. I bring this up because last night Tampa Bay had 38 swings and they missed the ball on 19 occasions. So half the time with Kershaw. Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff.
What up, though, Dan? You talking about a variety sports talk show. You go from baseball to Barbara Streisand's bra, onion bagel shots, and end with LeBron doing 40, man. I mean, where you going to get that at? Where you going to get that at, baby? Listen, seriously, with Tua Tagovailoa being going into the starter position, I really feel good for this guy because he went through an injury that 20 years ago would have ended anyone's career. I mean, I've had an injury it really, really hurts. And when you're able to get back out there and realize that you're back in the running, you're doing it, it's no better feeling on this earth, man.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jeff. You know the story I never got to? The team that I think would be perfect for Matt Ryan. I started this morning at 7:30. I brought this up.
We even made all kinds of new production for it.
Oh, dang. You know what? I'll wait till tomorrow. Because I also had the hot tub story that I told the guys, too.
Hello.
The person I know who's got a hot tub in their living room. Yes, McLovin.
You're going to tell us after the show, though, right? The Matt Ryan thing I need to know.
No. I got to wait till tomorrow. America has to wait. Perfect team for Julio Jones. Perfect team for Matt Ryan.
Hope it pays off. Yep. A two-day tease is pretty serious.
What I learned and what you'll learn tomorrow brought to you by LegalZoom during these unprecedented times. Rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Visit LegalZoom.com today. Take care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. Our pleasure to serve you. It's an honor to serve you. And we're going to do it again tomorrow, Dan Patrick Show.